to the tear down.
We swore. Let them know.
We swore, baby.
We swore, baby. All they know.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We have made it. If you were here, you were breathing. You see the God's green earth outside. It is week one, college football. The man on my screen, a lot of you, I don't know how much content you take in on the internet. He might not need an introduction, but he's one anyway. You know, he's a tennis expert, South Carolina diehard. He's a videographer and producer on one of the best podcasts in the game, Bussin' with the Boys with Taylor Lewan and our guy Will. His name is JP Hovey. He's on the pod, man. How you doing?
Let's go, Dan, man. I appreciate you having me on. It's been a long time coming. We've been going back and forth, whether it be off tweets or in the DMs. There's no better week for us to make this happen than I see Virginia Tech all over the background of the episode. You see the Gamecock hat here. Obviously, we got the matchup coming this Saturday, so it's perfect timing for this episode.
Yeah, man, it's a weird time as for us, as like for Virginia Tech, because we just don't know anything. Because we got two new coordinators, like they haven't really been public. Like last year, they were on this big, like it was like a big media kick, like right. David Pollack, like Pat McAfee, all these dudes, like hyping us up, like ESPN chomping at the bit to come back to Blacksburg. And then we went into Vandy and got smacked, and it just wasn't a good year. We fired a coordinator. The other one left to be O-line coach at Ohio State. Sucker. And then we brought in two new coordinators, like 30-some transfers. It feels like we are Vandy from this year, because you just don't know.
Dude, but that's not the worst thing in the world if you're Vandy from last year, because Vandy put together a little season. And the loss at the time when it happened for Virginia Tech, it looked horrible. But y'all had a ton of injuries too. But Vandy ended up being a good squad. So I don't know, man. I think we were talking about it right before the show, because kind of last year going into the season, I would say South Carolina, there wasn't a whole lot out there on us because Sellers didn't have a lot of tape. Rocket Sanders was transferred in, like coming off of injuries. You know, there's Demetrius Knight that nobody really knew about on the defensive side of the ball. And it was kind of like South Carolina was under the radar. I think they even had us winning like four games last year. And we didn't really speak much in the media. Like nobody was tipping people off as to how good some of our guys might be. And then we had a great year. Virginia Tech, they could be in the same boat as us. Unfortunately, they do have to run into us week one. So don't judge the season off of week one.
No, I won't. I don't expect to win that game. Like, I would be pleasantly surprised. Like, I would be obviously ecstatic to win that game. Yeah. It's a big game. It's got a lot of ties from the past with Shane. And obviously, Frank's going to be there. There's no way he's not going to be there. Like, it's just Atlanta. Like, it's kind of central to – I mean, Blacksburg's not that far. We've played a lot of games.
Right.
In Atlanta, we beat the hell out of Tennessee in the – Peach Bowl years ago or Chick-fil-A Bowl. Yeah, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Yeah, so it's all those names, all those iterations. But, I mean, South Carolina, way back in the day, ACC team, ended up now they're the SEC. You know, history ball, Steve Spurrier, like all those dudes. Who was the one quarterback? Shaw? He was good. He was a beast. And then Jadeveon Clowney. Ball players.
I mean, we got a lot of guys that being with Will and Taylor now at Bussin, you know, South Carolina, obviously our program, we've never won a national championship. We just have the one Heisman Trophy. We haven't won the SEC. We've won the East, but haven't won the conference. So when you're not a South Carolina fan or you don't play us every year, you don't really know a lot about us. But when names get dropped like Stephon Gilmore, or Jadeveon Clowney, or, you know, pick your guy, Debo Samuel. It's like, oh, dang, they went to South Carolina. Everyone's always like, how was South Carolina not good? Y'all had all of these guys come through your program. But this is the year I hope that we can shift that conversation into we don't just have good players. We have great teams.
Well, yeah, I was did you watch the Netflix series? I know you had to have.
Yeah, but I'm not all the way through it. I have like three episodes left, which is actually where I think most South Carolina stuff picks up. But I mean, I'm loving everything I'm seeing out of Beamer.
And yeah, in the beginning, it was like, well, this is what we did at Virginia Tech, at Virginia Tech, at Virginia Tech. And I was just like, man, here we go. Like, it's going to get loud this week, I think, with those particular storylines. I know he's going to hate being continuously asked about it, but I'm sure he expects it. You're from Spartanburg, right?
From Greenville.
Greenville, my fault.
So super close. It's like 30 minutes away.
I got you. So how in South Carolina, when you're born and raised in South Carolina, you're big into college football, like, is there like a geographical dividing line that keeps it Clemson or South Carolina, or is it kind of just like who your parents were and like how you grew up?
Yeah, I would say a little bit of both, because in Greenville, I would say there's definitely majority Clemson fans, and Columbia, obviously majority South Carolina fans. And then Charleston, I would say it's split. And that's when it can come down to your parents. It comes down to your parents in Greenville too. But my parents are from New York, and they weren't really, my dad, he's a big Syracuse basketball fan. So he had no ties. But the first college football game he went to down here was a Clemson Carolina game at Clemson. And he went with a South Carolina fan, and he's looking around at all the Clemson people, and he's just like, man, this is, he hated everything about it. All of the kind of the Southern preppiness, how everyone was talking, how they viewed the program, especially at the time. He couldn't stand the arrogance that was in Death Valley. So he was like, we're cheering for the Gamecocks. And then really it was because of his best friend is why I became a South Carolina fan. And it was one of my greatest honors growing up in Greenville, trying to defend the Garnet and Black.
Yeah. I almost went to South Carolina, actually.
Really?
So I ended up going to Marshall, actually. Yeah. But I grew up a massive Tech fan. Like, obviously, when I was real young, it was like real casual because I don't know anything about football. And then it was like, by the time I got old enough to realize like what was going on, like middle school-ish, it was the Michael Vick years. So then it just kind of really ballooned. But I was really set on sports marketing, sports management. And at the time I was graduating, South Carolina had like the best program in the country for that. But like their early enrollment was like their early application process was December, and I didn't get my SAT scores back till like February. So I ended up not going, but I got a little love for the Gamecocks. Yeah, for sure.
I think it's mutual love. Like, you know, I don't really know many people that hate Frank Beamer. And since we have Shane Beamer, there's mutual respect. And Michael Vick, he was probably like my first, Savelle Newton was my first favorite South Carolina player probably. But Michael Vick was my first favorite NFL player, and I remember him at Virginia Tech. He was the reason I became a Falcons fan. I was ride or die for Michael Vick. Even in the times I shouldn't have been riding for him, I was still riding for him, and I'm still riding for him to this day. I hope he balls out at – he's at Norfolk State?
Yeah, Norfolk State.
I hope he balls out there.
So do I. I hope it goes – they kick off this Thursday.
Yeah.
I thought about going, but there's no way. Like, Norfolk's all the way across the state from me.
Yeah.
And then I flight the next day in D.C., so it just would be hell to try and do. Like, I was even like, I got options because Thursday is actually my birthday. So it was like, I want to go see Gavin Adcock in Richmond, which is like 2.5 hours. But then it's like, I got to catch that flight the next day, and that 95 North shit is crazy. But
dude, Gavin Adcock is blowing up. Two, it kind of seems like destiny. If Michael Vick can prove himself at Norfolk State, if he could somehow put on that Virginia Tech colors and become the head coach there at one point, that would be peak. Yeah. It would be so good for college football.
It would be nuts. That would ultimately mean that the current iteration failed, and that would be bad. But the Michael Vick storyline would be interesting. It would definitely – it would carry like – it might, I don't know if it would get bigger than the Deion thing, because Deion is just a massive brand in itself.
Right.
But like, as far as like going back to your alma mater, I think it would be bigger than Scott Frost going back to Nebraska. Don't tell Will I said that.
I agree, man. Nebraska was great in the 90s, but Michael Vick changed the game forever.
Yeah, he changed it all. Like football and like that position quarterback was like, I mean, you had dudes come after him that were absolute beasts, like Lamar and Cam and
right.
even, yeah, like, so, but, and now Lenore Sellers, you know, but He got rid of the rec specs, right? He's got contacts. Is that what's already had?
Contacts are out, man. It was hurting his peripherals, and he's dialed in now, dude. I always tell people that Lenore Sellers for me, because Connor Shaw was great and one of the best, and it was through. He was an athletic guy, very fast, smart. His biggest thing was he never turned the ball over. He never lost at home, but he was all like preparation, hard work, keyed in. Lenore Sellers is all of that. Like, we've never had a quarterback as athletic as Lenore Sellers, as big as him, as fast as him, as strong as him. And in Lenore Sellers' highlight tape, you see him last year. And when he's done playing college football in 25, 30 years, I think he's going to be that college football tape that people like me and you, just college football fans in general, we type in for the nostalgic, like Lenore Sellers highlights, just to get juiced up like how we do with Tavon Austin. I think he has that. He plays that fun, and he does things that nobody else can do. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to have him. Hopefully he can be our second Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, he's definitely on the list. Like, he's definitely being heavily favored. And what was it, 2 years ago, you had a GA as your quarterback. What was his name?
Which one, honestly?
I don't remember. Like, he actually put some games together.
So we had Zeb Nolan.
That was it, Zeb Nolan. That was the guy. He came from being a GA back to being quarterback.
Never forget his game-winning touchdown. I think it was against Vanderbilt, last second of the game. Saved us. Always love for Zeb.
Yeah, I actually cashed on your win total last year, to be honest, because it was low. And I was like, nah, they're definitely winning. I think it was like 6 or 5.5. I was like, this is definitely happening.
I think we covered every single game except one, and we were like the third most profitable team on, you know, like all the sports books. I think I forget who was number one, but we were up there, and I was cashing out as a Gamecock fan.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how do you get, so you grew up in South Carolina, how do you end up in Nashville? Was it for busing, or was it you just get the busing job while you moved to Nashville?
Yeah, so it was I lived in Texas for a little bit before, then I moved to Florida, and from Florida I moved to Nashville. So I was like doing my own videography business in Florida, and I worked at IMG Academy for a little while, and then I started my own videography business. And I was working with a lot of MMA fighters and tennis players. That's kind of one of the reasons I'm into tennis. And somebody sent me Will's Instagram story. One of my friends from back home actually sent me Will's Instagram story and was like, hey, they're looking for like their first full-time employee, a videographer. You should apply. Like, I love this podcast. And at the time I wasn't really even listening to podcasts, but I was working with fighters from the same gym that Michael Chandler trains at. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was like doing some research, and I see Michael Chandler was friends with them. I didn't really know Mike like that at the gym. Anytime he'd be in there, I'd be a little bit starstruck or scared to say anything to him because he's Michael Chandler, which is cool now because we're like actually friends. I would consider him a friend, which is awesome. But, you know, through doing some work at that gym, working with some of Will's old teammates, Matt Jones, he was a running back at Florida and he played for the Redskins for a little bit. And I worked with him right when I left IMG. He and Will were teammates. So by the time I interviewed with Bussin, I had already met so many people that they had connections with, which really helped me out in the interview process. And it was God, because I was interviewing for a job with the UFC and Bussin at the same time. And I was probably more qualified for the UFC one than Bussin, because I didn't even listen to podcasts, like I said, and made it to the final round of both those interviews. My girlfriend at the time, she was living in Nashville, and I make it to the final round, and then I'm kind of getting ghosted by both of them. And I'm just like, man, what the heck is going on? And end up not getting the UFC one, get the Bussin one. And then probably 2 or 3 weeks into the Bussin job, I'm riding with Will somewhere. And I was like, dude, I got to be honest. When I was in the interview process, I was interviewing with the UFC at the same time, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And he was like, dude, that's actually nuts, because it was between you and this other guy, and me and the other kid were in the same interviews for UFC and Bussin, and they both wanted him. And so basically they were waiting, UFC and Bussin was waiting for him to make his decision. And then wherever he didn't go, they were going to call me. And it was one of the guys from the LSU video staff when they were like, when they were making all those sick Joe Burrow videos during that. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I would have wanted him too over me, but it all worked out because the UFC, they actually called like 3 months later after I took the Bussin job and was like, hey man, you know, we have another position. We think we might have, you know, missed on you. We want to give you an offer to join, whatever. I was like, oh, these guys gave me my first chance, so I'm just going to go with it. And I accepted it, and I moved up to Nashville like within the week and then found a place to live after I drove up there.
Hell yeah, man. You took the leap.
Took the leap, man. It was a long time of like when I was living in Florida, because at IMG, you know, I think we made $30,000 a year. So after tax, not a whole lot either. And then
that's crazy because all the money that pumps into that place is like, you think like, dude, like people think like these colleges and these like private spots pay like all this money for shit. And then they see like the director of something put up on the internet and it's like 45 to 50. And I'm like, look, they're not paying what you think they're paying.
It costs $80,000 a year to go there for school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously everyone we know about from IMG didn't pay that money, but there's a million different baseball kids, tennis kids, golf kids that are paying it. It's like, man, y'all have the money, but I was making $30,000 there. And then when I left, I think the most I ever made in a month was like, you know, $1,200 or something. And then I was able to get the Bussin' job. So the leap was real, and it was not fun at the time. It's fun to look back on and like reminisce on the story, but during it was hard.
Yeah. And then obviously like the journey of Bussin' is like getting the Barstool gig and then like leaving and getting the FanDuel gig, and which led to like one of my favorite moments I think I've ever seen was when like Will and them like handed like the day ones, like that money. And I was like, dude, that's cool, because it really does feel like a team environment, like playing for your brother type. Like they bring that aspect, it feels like, to that, because even on like the massive interviews, like y'all are still included, even though you're like the back of the bus, like making the shit work behind the scenes. Right. You know? But I like it. I really do. I like how they are very inclusive and it feels very like family.
Yeah. And that's a good point too, with those interviews, because they're, unlike a lot of brands, I feel like they are so open to whenever anybody's on the bus, they're always tell us before, if you guys have anything that you think will be good in the podcast, we trust you. We want you to say it. Interrupt me if you need to. You know, obviously, we know each other well now, so we know the right time to pick your spots. Mm-hmm. But it's cool just because not a lot of people behind the scenes ever get that opportunity to kind of add some value to the front of the camera and not just behind the camera.
Right. Like you and then Jack's dedication to tweeting Rich Eisen's picture every day. Like that's crazy. Like to not even forget one time is crazy. Like it's just like an insane group of like hardworking individuals that have, and now you got Sherm. Like I love that dude too. Sherm is hilarious. But
Sherm is funny, man. Yeah, it's growing like crazy. When I started, they had 80,000 followers, and I was the first full-time employee. Jack and Garrett were there before me, but and then it was just us three for like a year or so, and then Mitch came, and now we have, I want to say, like 13 people, because there's, you know, new shows and behind the scenes stuff and all this different stuff. So it's nuts how much it's grown in just 4 years.
Yeah. And like, just like, so, do you have like offhand, like, or off the top of your head, like favorite interview that's ever been on the bus where you were just like, I can't believe I'm sitting next to this person right now?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a ton, and I always kind of gravitate towards the ones that we've been able to build relationships with, like off screen. Because, you know, so many people come through and it's really cool to be around them. But ultimately, you know, I don't know them. It's like they come in, do the podcast, talk with Will and Taylor, then they have to leave. And so I think one of like the relationships and friendships I think is the coolest outside of Michael Chandler. He's my tier one for it. But like Max Crosby and George Kittle, those guys are incredible. Like Max, you know, it was his birthday the other day and I shouted him out a little bit and he immediately messaged back, "Hey man, you know, thank you so much for the birthday wish, yada, yada." And we just have like a really nice exchange of messages. And I'm just thinking, man, this is Max Crosby and his story is incredible. I truly am inspired by his work ethic and, you know, his more is required attitude towards life and towards, you know, just going after what you want. And to get to know him on the personal side, it's cool. And Michael Chandler is a great example because I do view him as a role model. Mm-hmm. And anytime you get a chance to meet a role model, like I would love to meet Tim Tebow. I've looked up to Tim Tebow for a long time, but it's like he kind of has a similar vibe as Michael Chandler.
Yeah, meeting Tebow would be incredible. I guess the biggest person I ever just candidly met was I used to bartend at Dulles Airport in D.C. Yeah. And I got off. It just happened to, like, Tuesdays are usually very slow. Happened to be very busy, so I got out late, and I got on the shuttle to go back over to main terminal. And I was the second to last person on, and the last person on was Peyton Manning. And it was, like, right after he had retired from playing for the Broncos. And I just was, like, I, like, waited until, like, everybody got up to leave the shuttle. And then I, like, reached in, and I was, like, dude, Peyton, like, big Broncos fan, like, love you, can't believe you're retired, like, it's weird not having you around. And he was like, it's weird for me too. It was exactly what he said. But
dude, yeah. Peyton Manning was incredible. He was so nice to everybody in the back, like seeing him in Tennessee too, just in his home stomping grounds in his Peyton Manning room. He's a guy that, man, I would kill to like spend a weekend with watching football or just anything really. Like the humor is there, and I would kill to spend a weekend with him and Eli at the same time. I haven't met Eli yet, but their dynamic just always seems hilarious whenever they're together.
He seems like a good target for the bus, to be honest. Like, he would be a great bus interview.
I know. We're trying. We have, you know, some connections through some of Will and Taylor's agents and things like that. So hopefully this fall we can get him because, I mean, Eli's out and about doing a ton of stuff. And I think it would be a great fit.
And then the one person I could not have been on the bus with is Theo Vaughn. Not because I couldn't be around him, because I've been around plenty of like celebrity, like whatever, like that doesn't bother me. But like he would make me cackle the whole time. I would just like wheeze, like just laughing so hard.
You'd be hitting the Sherm in the back.
Yeah, man, like his appearance the past time was, dude, like the whole time, like it was just like, because it's just out of nowhere too.
Man, have you ever seen somebody's brain work that way? When he was talking about, when he was trying to think of the word husband, and he puts his head down and he's like, what is it? It's a male wife. And they're like, husband. I'm like, I don't care if you're just joking around, like if you're doing it on purpose, if you're not, to come up with something like that in the spur of the moment is next level up top.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, like, just, like, I think, like, when it really, like, I always, like, sort of, kept, like, in the beginning, I don't know when exactly. It was fairly early in the bussing arch where I was, like, starting to tune in. And then I just kind of remember, like, when Max, like, posted his sobriety post and then Will hit him with the drink emoji. And it, like, kind of blew up. And then, like, Chris Long, like, that – dude, it had me in tears. That's when I was kind of just like, yeah, Will, like, whatever it is, Will has it. Like, he just has it.
And I hope that it can kind of inspire, like, whoever's out there in the NFL right now that's kind of similar to Will. And there's a lot of guys that do show their personality a lot more. But he's the perfect example of just not taking yourself too seriously can do. And he is, like, a smart dude when it comes to running the business of bussing, understanding the internet, what's going to get people going, what won't get people going, who to collab with, who not to collab with, all those things. And I got to believe there's a handful of athletes out there that have great personalities that we'll probably see in the next few years start some brands. Again, we already do see it, but there'll be another. I'm excited to see whoever the next Will Compton is.
We're in an era of, like, to where the digital media space is now, where we're getting the most candid answers from coaches and players and just celebrities in general that we've ever gotten. And I think it's pretty awesome how unfiltered it is. Like, everybody's media trained, but they just feel so comfortable, like, being around Will and Taylor, or being around Delaney or whoever, and just like letting it rip.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of, and I think people are, I don't know, since media is shifting, they're a lot more comfortable and confident, and they also just don't care as much anymore, because we used to put so much weight on whatever was going on in the media, and then the media started to lie so much or twist things around that then everybody stopped trusting the media. Now it's like, wait a second, screw the media. And Denzel Washington, he was just doing an interview, and he was talking to the interviewer, asked them, hey, him and Spike Lee, do you guys ever worry about getting canceled? And he was like, canceled? Who? By who? Like, I didn't sign up to get canceled. So, you know, don't sign up. You don't want to get canceled, don't sign up for everything that they tell you, you know, to get involved in, whatever it was. But the whole don't sign up thing was going viral. And I love that. And I think that's what now people, coaches, players, they're doing that. They're not signing up for whatever dumb media outlet is going to attack them for whatever they choose to say. They're over it. And we're getting better media because of it.
No, absolutely. It was always like you would see a report come out on Twitter, and then like the athlete would like retweet it or quote tweet it and be like, I never said that, or this right. isn't what happened. So, and by the way, the highest to lowest, Denzel and Spike, that joint was fire.
I haven't seen it, so it's good.
Yeah, it was really good, actually.
I gotta watch that, man. I'm gonna try to watch it this week. Pre-game, it'll be my pre-game day movie watch this weekend.
Yeah, are you making a trip to Atlanta or no?
I'm going. So, Coop and I are the graphic designer at Bussin'. He used to work at the Peach Bowl, so he was able to get us some tickets. So he and I are going to drive down on Sunday morning, and then we're just going to come back after the game, because we'll be going to Nebraska, Cincinnati on Thursday. And then I think we're trying to go to Texas, Ohio State. So it's like a busy weekend, but not very many times can I drive to and go see the Gamecocks play. And this is one of those times. So I got to make it happen.
Is Travis going to be at Nebraska, Cincinnati?
I believe so. Travis, yeah. Jason is 1,000% going to be there, and I'm 90% sure Travis is going to be there. So we're going to do a little collab, because obviously they both went to Cincinnati. Will went to Nebraska, and we'll do some fun stuff with them.
They were both on that Cincinnati team that Tyrod beat in the Orange Bowl, but I don't think Travis was playing yet. I think he was just still,
like
a freshman or redshirt, but I think Jason played, I think. But, yeah, he talked about it on New Heights one time, and I was like, oh, shit, Tyrod getting some love.
Dude, Tyrod Taylor is a legend, too. I love so many of the Virginia Tech quarterbacks, honestly. Mm-hmm. It was they had a great streak. They're, like, low-key, they're the school that has had, like, so many great black quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Just one after another. And I was obsessed with all of them.
When Grant Wells didn't work out, we were kind of like, man, we just need black dual threat quarterbacks. Like, this white pocket passer thing doesn't work out for us.
We're trying to win games.
Yeah, hell yeah. If you can sling the pill, like, get out there. Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's a hell of a schedule, hell of a turnaround for you, is to go to Lincoln. Is it? It's in Nebraska, right?
It's in Kansas City.
Kansas City, okay. And then come back and then go to – how far is Atlanta? Like 3-4 hours from Nashville?
Yeah, 3.5 hours. But Atlanta's in Eastern time. We're in Central time. Mm. So you lose the hour going there. You get it back when you come back. True. But it is a lot. Like, the job is fun, and we get to do a lot of cool things. But I think a lot of times from the outside, people can forget that there's a lot of editing that goes into it. So when we go on these trips, you know, the videos need to go out the next week. So it's, you're gone all weekend, you're up late filming stuff, going to the games, and then a lot of times it's, I'll go into the office early Monday morning, 6 a.m., Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., stay past 6 p.m. just to get the video out by Wednesday, and you do that, you know, 6-7 times throughout the fall, plus whatever other event we go to. So it's a lot of fun, but it does take a lot of time, and it's a lot of time in front of a screen, which is something I've always struggled with. I love editing, but I love being outside more. And it's definitely, you got to have a balance to it.
Yeah. I do this, like, I'm a solo operation. So it's kind of like I had a co-host when I first started, and then it just kind of like, we were both going different directions. So right. It kind of just split, and I took the brand and he did something else. But I always tell people the easiest part is when you hit record. Everything else is work, but this is the easy shit.
Dude, I'm telling you, because even I try to do my own page on Make It to Midnight, and you know, I do try to do my audio episodes, video episode, run my social medias for all of them, make the thumbnails, but I always save the thumbnail for last because it's my least favorite thing to do. I'm not a very good graphic designer, but every single time I get to it, I'm just like, I'm always questioning. I'm like, why am I doing this? This is so much work to do just by myself. So anybody that's out there doing it by themselves, like yourself, shout out to y'all and all the people grinding out there for it, because it's not as easy as it looks.
So I guess as the brand grows, like, do you still, like, are you still like in your original duties, or do you get to delegate a little more now that you have like interns and stuff?
Yeah, the schedule is way better now, because when I first started, I was in charge of the episode and the vlogs and the gambling show and making clips for all of those. So it was some of my lower moments of life in the very beginning of my time with Bussin, because it was more than 12-hour days a lot of the times trying to edit these shows and, you know, figure out systems and processes that work best and all the different styles of content that, you know, because it takes a lot different amounts of time to edit a vlog as opposed to an episode and figuring out which clips need to go out for what. And I was definitely there. I faced probably two or three burnout times where I was pretty close to my breaking point of I can't do this anymore. But when we brought in Mitch, which he then took over the episode, so I didn't have to worry about much of the podcast edit even more. I was still making a lot of clips. But then we brought in Sherm, and so Sherm started making a lot of the clips from the episode, and now I'm pretty hands-off of the episode from the full edit to the clips. I'll chip in on like one or two clips, and I pretty much just own all of our behind-the-scenes content at the shop and then all of the vlogs, because the vlogs have grown so much since I've been there. And which is what I prefer. I prefer vlog style content over podcast style content. Yeah. I love being a part of the podcast and chiming in
right from
the back. I feel like that's one of my strengths. And so it's been good. As the team's grown, the job has definitely gotten a little bit easier. But it's also, you just find new ways to challenge yourself. So, you know, when you're out on the road, like, how can I make it to where our vlogs are going to be getting 100K views on each one instead of 50K? What are things in bus scenes that fans respond to that they love seeing in a day-to-day recap video? What's a question I could ask on the podcast that I know will do well and on socials later? And so just finding all different kinds of edges within everything to keep your value high in the team.
No, absolutely. And shout out Mitch for overcoming the twisted question. Man, he was getting grilled on it for a while. Like, he hung in there, though.
Dude, Mitch, we need to bring back the twisted question, because Mitch is the man, and he took a lot of unnecessary shots from Will and Taylor. Some of the questions weren't as bad as what they made them out to be. Some of them were, but it was – I think that's a hilarious moment in the Bussin universe with Mitch just – consistently fighting the twisted question. And I think we somehow need to bring it back so that he can prove everyone that's out there doubting him, he can prove them wrong. But we'll see if we can get that segment back in some way.
No, absolutely. I guess, man, like, what are your expectations for South Carolina Gamecocks football this year?
My expectations ever since I've probably been 9 years old is always that we're going to win the championship. We have never even been to the championship. So I do have a little bit of the Will Nebraska delusion. I own that from a South Carolina standpoint, but it's been there for a long time. And We've never had players this talented. We've 2011, obviously, or 13, we had our most stacked team of all time. I think our whole entire defense went to the NFL, all of our starters, for at least like a year or two. And 7 or 8 of them played over 5 years. So we don't have that type of defense. But our star power, I don't think, has been higher, because if Lenore Sellers was to stay one more year, there is a chance that we would have the number one and number two draft picks in the draft class. And I don't know of any team that has had that before. And I got to believe the number one reason I'm confident this year is because of how last year went. And it was heartbreaking. We got screwed against LSU. We should have been in the playoffs. But Sellers got hurt in that game. We got the whole pick six thing. We shot ourselves in the foot against Alabama. And then Ole Miss kind of dog walked us. And that was the end of the road for us as far as the playoff goes. But a lot of the key pieces are back from defense and offense. We lost some guys for sure, but your quarterback, your best player on your offense, and your best player on your defense were a part of those moments last year. And you got to believe that the messaging this year is, hey, every single game matters, and you cannot slip up one single time this year or your playoff hope is gone. You mess up, you get lazy on one play against LSU, boom, playoff hope's done. And it's that whole, just every game matters, every moment matters of every game. And I gotta believe that this team is bought in on that, because they have the results of last year staring them right in their face. Like, hey, you guys were this close. This is why you were this close. This is how you get over that hump. So I'm hoping 10-2, because it's always, you know, at the end of the day, we still do have a young team. You could get some big wins. You might ride a little high. We have a very hard schedule. We play a lot of good teams. 10-2 gets you in. And if we can kind of peak how we peaked last year, we were one of the hottest teams in the country last year. And if we can just carry that into the playoff, we can get dangerous on them.
Clemson, South Carolina is looking like it's going to be for a lot more than just a rivalry this year. It might have playoff implications.
I know, man. We thought it was going to have playoff implications last year, and turns out even if you beat them, it's still not good enough. But
yeah, well, it's going to be. They slid too, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And it's that game. You couldn't ask for a better ending to the season if we are both 1-2 lost teams, and if it truly is for a playoff spot, that would be all time, because nothing would make me happier than us ending Clemson's playoff hopes, playoff streak, getting the Palmetto Trophy, going into the playoffs a few weeks later, Lenore Sellers in New York, lifting the Heisman Trophy. A few weeks later after that, lifted the National Championship Trophy. I can see it in my head all too clearly, probably in an unhealthy way. But I gotta have hope. It's my duty as a fan to be optimistic.
Oh no, we're delusional. It's what we're being a realistic fan, like, is cool sometimes, right? But then it's kind of like, why not, dude? Why not us? Like, why not just go out there and do it? Like, Tech's gotta look at last year and be like, damn, we really failed. So we have to clean up. We can't let that happen again, and nobody's expecting anything from us now. So the only thing left to do is do it.
It's a pivotal year for Virginia Tech, because I think it's obviously like y'all have a good program name behind you, like the foundation is there, but it's like you have one too many consecutive bad years, and it can impact you for a long time after, which is
absolutely
what happened to South Carolina when Spurrier is leaving us, and then, you know, mid-season, and then Muschamp comes in and we go through all of that stuff, and it's like people don't realize how hard it is when you're a program like us, Virginia Tech, like to crawl your way back up to the top because of who you're recruiting against. And it's pain. Every season matters, and this is a pivotal season for Virginia Tech. And I think y'all will rise to the occasion in the ACC.
I hope we rise to the occasion on August 31st in Atlanta, Georgia. That's what I'm hoping. But Kyron Drones, Lenore Sellers, I'm looking forward to that matchup. I think it's going to be – I hope it's electric. I hope it's not like getting dog walked. Like, I hope it's just a fight. Like, that's
it'll be good. You know, I mean, and it's a great, I love that it's on Sunday. We'll be like, all eyes will be on us. And dude, I mean, we, South Carolina, notoriously, we start out a little bit slow each year in game one. I mean, last year we barely beat Old Dominion.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then, but again, that's where I hope this year. I hope it's the same, or I hope this is the year that the program is like, hey, we're not starting slow. It's foot on the necks from week one to week 12. None of this old South Carolina stuff. It's a new era, new program. We're both hoping for that from both of our teams, but we'll see, man. It's going to be fun. We're definitely going to have to meet up in person in Atlanta.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Nah, for sure. You have to tell me off camera, I guess, where your seats are. I just got my ticket today. So honestly, I know what section I'm in, but yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to, I've been in the Georgia Dome. I haven't been to this one yet.
Dude, me neither. I've never been in Mercedes-Benz, and everybody that goes says it's incredible, and I'm fired up. Hopefully I'll go to a World Cup game when the World Cup game's back, or when the World Cup is here, because they're playing in Atlanta.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, it'd be insane.
Is there a fall tour for busing this year? Have you guys, I don't know if you've announced it or not.
There's a fall tour, but we only know, like, we're going to be going to 5 or 6 games. And the only games that even that we know in the behind the scenes world is Nebraska, Cincinnati, and then Nebraska, Michigan for the Bussin' Bowl,
right,
which will be an epic game. And then we're going to go to 3 or 4 more. I don't know which ones yet. I know that they want to go to Red River Rivalry, which would be awesome, because that's like that's a bucket list game to go to as a college football fan too.
Red River Shootout, as I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring back Red River Shootout. You know? So we'll go to that one, hopefully. And then we'll see, man. We're kind of trying to wait to see what teams, you know, are still good at the end of September, October, where your teams are starting to separate themselves. Oregon, Penn State. Obviously, that will be a big matchup. Maybe we'll go there, but we got to get it locked in. If they're listening to this, let us know in the back where we're headed this fall.
Blacksburg.
I know, man.
Dude,
I know.
Enter Sandman would hit. We got Miami in November. That if we're good, I don't know what it's going to look like, but like that game will be crazy.
If y'all are both good, that game would definitely be a possibility, because that's as good as ACC football can get with a good Virginia Tech and a good Miami in Blacksburg. That place, it will explode.
Yeah, the best Miami Tech game I think I ever saw at home. Well, we beat the hell out of Brad Kaya in like 2016, 17. Yeah. I can't remember, but it was Logan Thomas. It was like when we registered on the Richter scale right after the Miami scandal had happened and the U Stuck shirts were out. Yeah. that we ended up winning like 38-35. It was crazy. But
dude,
yeah, like bussing in Blacksburg would be a hit, whether a fall or a spring tour. I think it would be awesome.
Dude, yeah, that's
not that I'm campaigning.
Yeah, it's if y'all have a good year, it would be sweet to go there in the spring and go be a part of, you know, one of those practices leading up to the spring game. Campus seems cool too.
Yeah, no, the campus is tight. That's an absolute fact. Yeah, man. But yeah, we just I appreciate the quality content all the time, because I know you guys are always on the move and the vlogs, like from Taylor Sweat now 500,000 in a private betting room and Vegas to the Oregon trips to just like the random shit, like Will having, what was it? Was it a mattress in the back of his or a ladder? Was it a mattress in the back?
It was a rug.
A rug. Yeah. A rug in the back of the truck. Like just like random simple stuff that y'all do is just like, I find it hysterical. Like,
no, man, I love it. That's the ultimate goal. That's one of the main reasons I'm in the content game, is to just hopefully make people's lives better, make them laugh throughout the day, because there's nothing better than laughing. And to be in a job where you can contribute to you know, making someone's day a little bit lighter, giving them something to send to their friend. It's cool, and it's something that I take pride in for sure.
No, absolutely. Man, JP, dog, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy-ass schedule to come on this podcast and shoot the shit with me about Tech, South Carolina, life, busting, like, all of it. Like, you know, I do absolutely appreciate it, and I think people will love to hear what you have to say.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate you having me on. I apologize. My mic kept cutting out. I know that's
oh, it's all good.
A little bit of a hassle on the back end, but
we'll fix it up.
I appreciate you having me on, dude. I'm fired up to meet you in person this weekend.
Absolutely.
And we'll definitely have to hop back on here at some point this season when both of our teams, maybe South Carolina will be 7-0, Virginia Tech will be 6-1. We'll hop on a
– you know, or reverse, either way, you know.
We'll hop on a mid-season update show.
Hell yeah, man. Like, hey, from the bus to the Terror Dome to the Mercedes-Benz Dome, go Hokies. You got South Carolina this weekend. Week one, we're here. Balls to the wall for the next, 18 weeks?
Yeah.
In collective or 20 weeks? Like, it's football's here. NFL, college weekends are booked. Sorry, ladies, we ain't got time. That was good. But, nah, man, I appreciate you, as always, for sure.
Yes, sir, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.